buckle up. It's showtime.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Drop your... and grab your socks. That's what they used to say in the military. I won't say the word. That's just too damn offensive. It's Reese on the radio. It is Monday. It is Veterans Day. It is November 12th, 2012.
It's a lot more than that day.
Oh, there's a lot of mayhem going on today, and we are going to talk about it, so be prepared. If you are tuning into Reese on the radio right now, trust me, you are going to get more detail than you could ever get about this Petraeus scandal. Because, see, I'm going to keep it focused. I'm not going to do what the regular news outlets are doing. I'm going to go one step further than even what Fox News is doing. And I like the guys over at Fox News. So I'm not in any way am I disparaging them. But I'd like to say, can I just indulge you?
Mm-hmm.
Let me indulge you, folks, with what it is that's going on in this Benghazi scandal. Just so you know, because you're hearing all of these stories all over the place about this Paula Broadwell and whether or not she may have breached some sort of security, whether or not she was a loose cannon, so in love with General David Petraeus, whether or not she was so awestruck by him that any woman that even got near him, she was going to choke the bitch out. That is what's been made to believe if you really, really delve into this story. I'm going to play NBC News' report by Andrea Mitchell and some other goofball that's over there at NBC News, as we call now Barack's channel. They can't help but cover this story. What makes this so intense is that a UN ambassador is killed in 30 years. And the only thing I can help but talk about is General Petraeus' lover. They love this shit. But now, stories take such a turn that they get snared into it. And now there's no retreat. Let me tell you something, folks. Now, this is what's going to make all of you blush and go, are you serious? Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Late breaking news. Make sure everybody gets. Let me make sure that you are all listening. I'm going to give it a second. Oh, JC's telling me to move the mic. I'm right up on the mic, JC. That's my fault. Let me break this down for you. The Daily Beast has seen the emails that were sent from Paula Broadwell, to this woman, Jill Kelly. And they have a report on those emails. Yes, there is a report. Let me read it. Exclusive, Paula Broadwell's emails revealed. Broadwell's notes to Jill Kelly were full of catfight stuff, a source tells Michael Daly, and there were no overt threats, and Petraeus was barely mentioned. So why did the FBI jump in? The emails that Jill Kelly showed an FBI friend near the start of last summer were not jealous lover's warnings like, stay away from my man. That's according to a knowledgeable source talking to the Daily Beast. The messages were instead, what the source terms, kind of catfight stuff. More like, who do you think you are? You parade around the base, you need to take it down a notch. The base described is MacDill Air Force Base in Florida, where Kelly serves as an unpaid social liaison. The source reports that the emails did make one reference to General David Petraeus, but it was an oblique and offered no manifest suggestion of a personal relationship or even that he was central to the sender's spite. Kelly herself seemed mystified as to what was behind the emails, much less who sent them. I don't know who this person is. I don't want to keep getting them, she told the FBI, as recounted by the source. When the FBI friend showed the emails to the cyber squad in a Tampa field office, her fellow agents noted that the absence of any overt threats. There were no, I'll kill you or I'll burn your house down, according to the source. It doesn't seem really that bad. Now, see, folks, here's where it gets interesting. You see, when you heard that Jill Kelly, the woman who's supposed to be the third woman or the second woman in all of this, I guess you would say third if you count David Petraeus' wife, but the second woman in all of this, when you hear that Jill Kelly, this unpaid liaison, a party planner, if you will, that's what she was, like Tiger Woods' ex-broad, party planner.
Planning a party in Petraeus' pants?
I guess I had to set you up for that one. This party planner tells an FBI agent to check out these emails. But when you hear the line, she spoke to the FBI, she told an FBI agent about these emails, these threatening emails, we all got the picture in our heads. I know you did because I got them. And trust me, folks, I'm a little more cynical than most. When I heard she informed an FBI agent, didn't you think it was a guy? Doesn't just come to your mind?
Of course.
Right, it just comes to your mind. She alerted an FBI agent that she was getting these threatening emails. The FBI agent is a female. It's a personal friend. Hey, girl, what's up? I don't know. Some bitch emailing me. Really? What's
just
going on?
Just because I planned a party in the Fruit of the Loom room.
What? Really? Some bitch is hollering at you? Yeah, I don't know who this bitch is, but she talking about General Petraeus. Oh, word? You know, he probably messing around on his wife. You know, his girl looking all dumpy. He probably fooling around.
Oh, don't say that about Petraeus.
She is looking
wife.
That way. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay, but don't. Come on. The woman is going through enough heartache.
She doesn't care about what I'm saying. She's not even listening to what I'm saying. I'm just saying, telling facts. You know how girls get catty? Well, you know, he's the general, he's the CIA director, you know all these girls around Washington, you know, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. If she mentioned General Petraeus in there, I wonder if he's messing around. You know what? I'm going to talk to one of my guys, I'm going to see whether or not I can, see if I can find something. And sure enough, they do. Bunch of catty broads who know that they have access to somebody's emails. They search
him. Yeah, but
find
she
out.
Was sleeping with him too.
No. They say that Jill Kelly is just a family friend. There are plenty of photos of the family together. They say there's nothing. Their relationship is purely platonic.
That woman ain't sending that girl no crazy ass emails. So I'm gonna leave my man alone.
But no, it turns out that according to this story in the Daily Beast, there were no emails that suggested to leave my man alone. It was just one woman saying to another woman, you need to take it down a notch. You think you all that. You know, parading around here thinking you somebody when you not.
No, I've read what they posted.
No, I'm telling you what the Daily Beast is posting now. This is a brand new story. Couldn't have been in 10, 15 minutes ago.
So what were the lies that they posted yesterday?
That was another story from the New York Post and the New York Daily News suggesting stay away from my man. But this was just posted, about an hour ago. In fact, 2 hours ago, about 6:20, this was posted to the Daily Beast. And they're saying that the emails that they got a hold of based on a person that they spoke to was nothing that was even remotely threatening. It was really catfight stuff. Now, I don't know if this Jill Kelly is one of those soft girls who somebody sends her an email saying she needs to take it down or not. You ain't all that. And she gets all upset and whatnot, and she cries. She talks to her friend, a female friend at the FBI. They're probably really close. Girl, I got you. I got access to stuff you don't even know. Somebody stepped over there, you know.
I don't even know. Why are you portraying them to talk like that?
I'm just doing that.
You know it probably went down like this. Oh, my God. Let me tell you what this bitch said to me in an email today. It was about the Jen Petraeus, okay? This bitch is telling me I need to step it down a notch. I don't think so because she's cheating on her husband, and I know for a fact that she's having a party in General Petraeus' pants.
That's the whole point. And you did that perfectly, by the way.
I know.
But the bottom line is that this just turns out to be some office banter going back and forth.
Some
office,
water cooler talk.
Right. Water cooler talk, office gossip, run amok. And it runs right down to this guy and completely destroys his career.
Well, no, he destroyed his career.
Well, no.
Yes, he did. He shouldn't
Come
have done
on.
It.
Did it destroy Bill Clinton's career? Really? Did it destroy his career? This has destroyed Petraeus' career. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. The only reason why Petraeus is not getting the scrutiny that he deserves in this story is because of one simple thing. He was working under the Obama administration. Let this have happened under Bush. If Petraeus, remember, Petraeus was working for the Bush administration. He is the one who orchestrated the surge in Iraq that was successful. And because of that, that is why this is really not being handled as an administrative sort of letdown. No one's taking this to the level. NBC News, and I'll play the audio for you later. NBC News is only asking one question. Why didn't they tell the president? Why didn't they let him know? Turns out Eric Holder knew about this.
The president's probably sleeping with her homegirl.
Oh, okay. Now, hold on. Now, we're not going to go that far now.
If you had to sleep with that man-looking thing every night, you'd be going with some ass.
Well, I couldn't rip Petraeus' wife, but now you get to rip Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama deserves to be ripped.
Okay.
She already is ripped. She got a six-pack.
Oh, man. White Mike.
Man, you know, I wasn't following the thing real closely. Then I saw a picture of Petraeus' wife. And look, ladies who are listening, let that be a warning to you. If you are going to be married to an alpha male, you cannot let yourself end up look like Dave Thomas.
Aw, come
on. Do you have any idea? The man's a four-star general. He's CIA director. He has more vagina being thrown at him than a gynecologist.
Well, wait a minute. He married her ass when she was looking like that before. I'm
no,
sure
no,
she
was. She was prettier.
When was she? You have a picture of her?
Yeah,
I want to see.
They've been married for like 34 years or something, right?
They're married 7, going on 38 years.
And Petraeus is in shape, and he still runs and takes care of himself, and he's got to go home to that.
Yeah,
come on,
I mean,
it's inevitable.
If you look at their picture, when you see their picture, their wedding, I mean, their picture of them at West Point, you'll see that it's a black and white photo. He's on the right, she's on the left. When you look at their picture of them at West Point, you have to think about it. This was sort of, and you know this term, this was an incestuous relationship because her father was the commandant at West Point when she met David Petraeus.
How do you feel, Petraeus?
Oh, you know what? I always hate spelling that.
Well, therein lies the problem, though, Reese, because... Hey, therein lies the problem, because if you have to describe who's on the left and who's on the right, then she couldn't have been too damn cute then either.
No. She, you definitely know who she is. She's,
oh, damn.
She's blonde. No, that's Paula Brown.
No, I know who this is.
Now, the pictures of them, look, they look like classic 50s kids. You know what I mean? Like that old Leave It to Beaver photo coming out of West Point. You've seen the pictures before. That's what she looks like now. But you know, I look at them and I'm going, I'm not saying that Patrice cheated on her because his wife had gotten dopey looking, but I'm saying Paula certainly
was a factor, I guarantee it. That Paula Broadwell's pretty hot, even though she has crazy eyes.
Yes, she does. Paula Broadwell, that bitch has
boil your bunny in a pot eyes.
But Paula Broadwell, look at what the attraction would have been. Here's a girl who was in the military. West Point graduate, like himself. You know, she was pro-military. She was obviously in awe of him and his accomplishments, who it is that he was as a man. She fawned over him. She talked about him in glowing ways to other people. Did you hear that Don Imus interview?
No, I didn't hear it.
You just got to hear the Don Imus interview when she's promoting the book, All In. Everyone she talks to, there's an interview she does with Jon Stewart where she talks about Petraeus. I'm stunned.
Oh, yeah, I saw that video when she showed up in her sleeveless top with her guns kind of ripped. She's not bad, man.
Challenges Jon Stewart and her husband to a push-up contest.
Oh, did you hear the latest? Bill Clinton just signed her to be his biographer.
Yeah, that's the picture. That's the one.
But, yeah, if you dig the deeper picture, of course, man, this is throwing Petraeus under the bus. This is trying to shut him up.
Yeah.
He won't testify.
Discredit him. Look, the fact that Holder knew about it at the end of the summer, the fact that I believe the last conversation with her, with Paula Broadwell, took place 4 days before the election on Friday. That was the last conversation they had. They took her computers, right? They took her computers. They got everything from it. They found out that she had classified information. They said it was low level, but they found out that she had classified information. They were doing this investigation. The fact that they didn't let anybody know about it, and the FBI and the CIA, you know they've got a sibling rivalry that's been going on for eons.
But who let it out? I mean, this kind of thing, this is not the first high-level, you know, espionage guy who did this kind of thing. Somebody in the administration let this out. This is all part of a plan.
Yeah, now, Mike, you're king of conspiracy theory, but, you know,
yeah,
I don't
know.
Just reduce it.
Keep this quiet,
no,
man.
Reduce it to conspiracy theory as if you're some whack job. You're no kook on this stuff. But I want to know whether or not you see it the way that I see it. Now that we know, or we're learning now, that these emails were nowhere near threatening, but somebody got a hint of how it is that they could go after Petraeus and get him sort of, you know, I'll give you the perfect example. Somebody suggested today that is there a possibility that they dangled this in front of Petraeus right before the hearings in front of Congress, the congressional hearings, and said to him, listen, you get your ass out there and you tell the American public that this was because of that YouTube video. If you don't, we'll let everybody know the affair. Because he was one of the first people to go out there and tell Congress that it was the YouTube video. And he's the CIA director.
Is he a total, like, company man? I mean, I don't know much about Petraeus. Is he one to toe the line?
Petraeus is not company man. In fact, he and Barack Obama have literally they've slammed heads quite often. Remember what during the congressional hearings that were being held about whether or not the surge should be approved, and whether or not this intelligence was a cause to actually send more troops into Iraq. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton lambasted him.
He just got a taste of Chicago-style politics. That's what he got.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
and this guy, he's a West Point grad, you know, a hotshot four-star, come at things with honor, and you can't deal with Chicago politicians with honor. That's like non-existent concept to them.
I mean, it's the Jack Ryan case all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce records all of a sudden coming to light?
Yeah, poor Jack Ryan. So he wouldn't take his hot wife to a swingers club. What's wrong with that? Threw that guy into the bus.
Exactly.
If I was married to Jerry Ryan, I'm going to watch some other guy bang her, too. You know?
Okay.
I mean, damn.
Holly
so the guy got a little freak in him.
He said if I was married to Jerry Ryan, the chick from Star Trek.
That was 7 of 9, dude. Come on. She was hot.
Nine. He said, if I was married to her, he said, I'd watch some other guy do her too. I don't know if I'd go that far. But nonetheless, hey, but here's an interesting thing. I don't know whether or not you heard this, Mary, because this one, this is the part that I believe is the most damning. And I don't care whether or not they want to talk about it, but they're going to be forced to. Have you heard this audio?
Just to create some context for those in the room, as you know, the ambassador in Benghazi was killed along with a couple of security agents who happened to be CIA security military forces. That just came out today in Fox News. But the challenge has been the fog of war. And the greater challenge is that it's political hunting season, and so this whole thing has been turned into a very political sort of arena, if you will. But the facts that came out today were that the ground forces there at the CIA annex, which is different from the consulate, were requesting reinforcements. They were requesting it's called the Sinks in Extremist Force, a group of Delta Force operators, are very most talented guys we have in the military. They could have come and reinforced the consulate and the CIA annex that were under attack. Now, I don't know if a lot of you have heard this, but the CIA annex had actually had taken a couple of Libyan militia members prisoner, and they think that the attack on the consulate was an effort to try to get these prisoners back. So that's still being vetted. The challenging thing for General Petraeus is that in his new position, he's not allowed to communicate with the press. So he's known all of this. They had correspondence with the CIA station chief in Libya. Within 24 hours, they kind of knew what was happening. But if you remember at the time, the Muslim video, the Muhammad video that came out, the demonstrations that were going on in Cairo, there were demonstrations in 22 other countries around the world, tens of thousands of people. And our government was very concerned that this was going to become a nightmare for us. So you can understand if you put yourself in his shoes or Secretary Clinton's shoes or the president's shoes that we thought it was tied somehow to the demonstrations in Cairo.
Now,
well, of course,
this woman is flat out saying that this is why it makes it even so damning. Okay? This is why it makes it so damning. This one little piece of evidence, this one piece of evidence, this screws everything up, Mary, because this is what the CIA said today. And this is why it's so damaging. She said that they believe, or she's flat out, because they were holding prisoners at the CIA compound in Benghazi, that was the reason why they were attacked. The CIA released this statement.
A well-placed Washington source and two security contractors in Benghazi tell Fox the Libyan militiamen held at the CIA annex may be a possible motivating factor for the attack. The CIA denies it had any prisoners. Quote, the CIA has not had detention authority since January 2009. When Executive Order 13491 was issued. Any suggestion that the agency is still in the detention business is uninformed and baseless.
Now,
of course not.
Exactly. 13491 is an executive order signed by the President of the United States, one Barack Hussein Obama. He decided that we were no longer going to torture, we were no longer going to detain prisoners. No longer going to do it. No rendition. If it had been found out that the CIA was still conducting that, that was Paula Broadwell that was talking. If it had been suggested that the President of the United States was telling everybody else, hey, we're not going to do it anymore, but they were secretly doing it, booyah.
Wait, but this is the same CIA who didn't smuggle crack into the ghetto in Los Angeles, right?
Absolutely.
The same CIA, yeah, who we can trust, who never lies. Come on, man. I was born at night, but not last night.
Yeah, this the definition of spook, my friend. That's exactly what they are.
I mean, how can we put any faith in anything they say when we know that they were selling crack in Los Angeles? We don't suspect it. We know that.
Again, this is this woman has compromised everything that is happening right now within not only the CIA but at the White House. And right now, I'll put any amount of money on it. They're running damage control. There is incidentally one very stupid little side note to all of this. The story broke on Friday. By the way, you've noticed there have been no reports. Like, no reporter has seen Paula Broadwell, right? Mm-hmm. It turns out Paula Broadwell this weekend is on vacation with her husband and her two sons in Washington, D.C.
Oh, so
does she hang herself in the shed like the D.C. Madam, or does she shoot herself in a rowboat like Casey?
She's in Washington, D.C. with her husband on vacation. Her birthday was Friday, the same day the story broke. So here's her husband taking
her
out.
Herself.
What's that?
She's going to kill herself.
Here it is. She's out with her husband, her two boys, on her birthday, on a vacation. He probably paid for. He's a doctor. And she's in Washington, D.C. It's the biggest story going on in the land.
Now, the girl from MacDill, the party planner, is like high society in Tampa. Her husband is a cancer surgeon at Moffitt.
That's right.
So that's pretty hoity-toity.
Yeah,
so Broadwell's husband's a doctor, too?
Say again?
So Broadwell's husband is a doctor also?
Yeah, Broadwell's husband is a doctor, and Jill Kelly's husband is a doctor. Jill Kelly's got a twin sister who's actually pictured here. I'm trying to show Mary. Why is it that when you get older, one is always bigger than the other?
I don't know.
They're Lebanese, too.
Are they Lebanese? Yeah, because they have weird last names.
Yeah, they're Lebanese. Yeah, they're Lebanese.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're very pretty.
Oh, yeah, that the Kelly woman definitely has some kind of sexual magnetism. I can see why Crazy Eyes was jealous of her.
Oh, yeah, well, there you go. Right off the bat. Yeah, she's
I mean,
right.
I like to think I'm a typical dude. She was very milfy.
But you know who Paula Broadwell reminds me of, Mike? She reminds me of this story. The astronaut.
Oh, yeah, she has those crazy drive across country wearing a diaper eyes, that's for sure.
Do you remember that story?
No.
Okay, I remember that story, yeah. She drove from Houston to Orlando or something and didn't stop to pee.
From Houston to Orlando, Florida, nonstop wearing an adult diaper so she didn't have to stop on the road to take a pee break. And drove
what the hell was she driving? What kind of car gets that mileage? I want to know that.
It had to be a Ford Escort. I believe it was a small, like, compact car. I'm almost certain it
was
a Ford.
Was she driving a Prius? God damn.
No, the Prius wasn't out there. It was a Ford Escort, I'm almost certain.
Wait, I remember something.
And then she got all the way there. She drove, found a woman at a local mall or something, and then the woman was getting into a car because she was...
And she killed her, right?
No. She reached into the woman's car and tried to grab her. And she said, I only wanted to talk to her. But in the back seat of her car was a bunch of plastic bags and some duct tape.
Well, you know, man, you know what they say in the hood, the bitches is crazy.
They are absolutely crazy.
Them bitches be tripping.
Paula Broadwell, if you listen to her talk, you ever hear her speak, she's very, very direct. She appears to be somebody who's pretty practical. But I don't know. There's something about her to me. You know, I agree with you. She does have the, you know, rabbit in the boiling pot sort of look about her.
She got a chance to bang a 4-star general. You know, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's like a rock star and an Oscar winner all rolled into one for a West Point grad.
Yeah, for somebody like her. Right, exactly. That's in her wheelhouse. You know, that's right in her wheelhouse to do something like that. Now the CIA director and the higher and the upper echelons of Washington and Washington politics and, of course, frickin' intelligence, she feels like
a god. Why would you risk your marriage and your children?
Because, again, this is about where it is that you are.
Because
you know?
his dick has 4 stars on it. That's why.
He probably didn't even, the sex probably wasn't even good.
Wait, wait, wait. It probably wasn't.
I can't imagine him even having a large penis.
But you know what? That's probably true. But you know what? The euphoria of being in that.
The euphoria? Of what?
It's not about the, size of the boat. It's about the motion of the ocean. Come on, Mary.
Oh, dude. No.
I mean, look. We know you married to a 6'4" brother. They ain't all about that. You know what I'm saying?
You can't be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean pulling a goddamn tugboat.
As long as you got a turbocharger on it, you can.
We're talking about, now you're talking about battery-operated things.
Hey, Petraeus, you know, he's 60 years old. He got some skills.
He's got to have some skills. He ain't that old. He's a military man. He'd probably do 100 push-ups, no questions asked.
100 push-ups with no hands, you know what I mean?
I don't think he's been doing much practicing with his wife.
Let me ask you this, okay? In your field, if the owner of the company, entrepreneur, billionaire guy, was showing you, you know, the fancies, if you will, you know, flirting with you in the whole nine yards. And I'm saying, despite the fact that we're married, wouldn't you be somewhat flattered? Wouldn't that kind of make you feel all gushy?
No.
Really?
Dude, I've known some really dorky dentists
who
ended up screwing up their marriages with young assistants because they got that whole power thing going on.
Yeah.
Women love power.
Some women don't, apparently, Mary.
No, I like power, but I don't like power at any cost. I'm not willing to risk my marriage for one.
Oh, no, I wasn't suggesting
that.
That wouldn't in some way be intriguing to you, that somebody would show that kind of interest in you who had that sort of position.
Okay, Mary, look, I know you're with your husband, you ain't going to dime yourself out, but Denzel Washington, come on now.
What?
Denzel Washington? He said, come on now.
No.
If Denzel fits some game to you, you wouldn't be tempted? Come on, Mary.
Boy, Bradley Cooper. You really like him. You really like him. That woman, my own wife told me right in my face. She said, oh,
okay, if Bradley Cooper was fitting game to a bitch, I would be all gushy inside. I may need a napkin.
I mean, come on, let's look at Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston, and Angelina showed up, and he got to stepping.
Well, what did you say? He said he was married to Jennifer Aniston and what?
And Angelina Jolie showed up, and he was gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know,
there's
always temptation out there.
Years and years of marriage, it took a four-month or maybe six-month movie shoot. He was gone.
To be fair, it was Angelina Jolie. I mean, you know, come on, that's like top level.
Yeah, but you know what?
You think Angelina Jolie is top level?
At the time,
back then she was. That Mr. and Mrs. Smith era Angelina? Hell yeah.
She was a, no.
But she was a freak.
Yeah, she was a nasty, freaky deek.
That's probably
what. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
You know how Aniston was behind doors.
Come on, you know Aniston is real conservative.
We don't know that.
Come on.
Angelina looks like the kind of girl that put in her own butt for you. I'm just saying.
Angelina Jolie looks like the type of gal that would strap one on and put it in your butt.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I'd probably let her do it. I'm not going to lie.
Mike, I think you have some underlying, you know, that would be a great segue into the next subject.
Yeah, which we'll get back to.
Hey, there's nothing gay about that. You can't tell me that's gay. Come on now.
I'm not even having that discussion with you.
Okay.
Come back.
Look who she was married to.
Tickle me, homo. We have to get into him.
Are we talking about Mike or are we talking about...
Oh, you're not going there, dude.
Yes, we're going there. Stick around. We'll be right back at 3 Sun Radio.
Tickle me, homo. Wow.
Finally home, just relaxing from the action in the danger zone. It's my rest. before I exit, returning to earth. We on some next. Let's hit. One, stop, maintain, shine, take care, rhyme, free your mind. Let me holla, let me holla, let me holla, let me holla. Hey yo.
Shall witness
today, and Babylon shall fall, fall. Burning still, fellow ice grill. People keep on telling me to chill, but I know it's only poetry can feel. These emotions that I mostly need to heal. It's all part killing, start with black children. March through the streets in a million, dealing with injury, us, just us against us. We must bust back into the bank, one attack. Pull over, fool, this is the jack. Now give me back the fat and my bama weed back. My culture, every day I'm getting closer. Living it up like I'm supposed to. Who the king ruling this? Star, the light it never miss ya. One of these days I'm gonna kiss ya. Set you with my lips up, get the cheek. Gonna hit ya, so every day I'm reading scripture. One day,
one time, maintain, shine, stay care. Free your mind. Let me holla, let me holla, let me holla, let me holla. Hey yo, one time, maintain, shine, take care, free your mind. Let me holla, let me holla, let me holla, let me holla.
To get ready, fabricate your brain to fall out too deadly. Run away for the odds of seven Getty. The good that you speak, no sweet up the smelly. Think like me, come back, wanna tell me why you never want to call job on the telly. Why you wanna never call job on the telly, yeah. Baby, go when I unload, making ego explode. Baby, gone as soon as I enter in the dough. We be bitten, unrelenting, too cold. A white collar, sucker can't do me nada. Been in a lot of situations, made it hotter. Homie, but we gotta live it, got the fodder. Give it, then I get it, spit it, make it proper. It's alright, plus my mic sound nice. Flip it, be specific, stamp your dice. We fly on a gamble, try, learn to handle. Ways of the day, the life fades, a candle. And flicker, sticker, black, bring the cup back. Before we lose track of where we at.
One minute to the top of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on this November the 12th, 2012. We are back. We are live. So I don't know if anybody ever suspected that Elmo was inappropriate for children. I personally always have. My reasons were obvious. My reasons
Your
for this.
Radar was on point.
Radar was on point. And I have to tell you why. everything that Elmo stood for was just too light in the ass for me. And for his first toy to be a tickle me toy, touch me inappropriately, touch me inappropriate.
And I make noises.
And I make noises. Just screamed of homosexuality. Just me. I don't know whether or not you did or not. I had an issue with it. I had an issue. And now it's been reported. Oh, goodness gracious, it's been reported. Mm-hmm. That the puppeteer who has his hand up Elmo's rear. Oh, yes, this is, all the signs were there. Some 7 years ago. And what's his name? Clark? Or what's this guy's name?
I
forget his name.
No,
I think it's Clark. Nonetheless, they claim that he had an inappropriate relationship 7 years ago. Now, the young boy, they claim, was 16 years old at the time. They say that Elmo was 45. I shouldn't equate saying Elmo was 45.
Is that
45.
Him right there?
Yeah, that's him. I'm going to show
him. Oh, my God,
him
he's
now.
Black?
Yes, he's black, and he's from the Baltimore area.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah. Now, yes, Kevin Clash. I apologize. Okay, so Kevin Clash, he's 52 years old. He is now on leave after the program's lawyers were contacted by the 23-year-old young man. Now, the accuser claims that he had a sexual relationship with the puppeteer 7 years ago when he was 16 years old. Now, here's where the story gets really, really convoluted and interesting. Now, the boy claims that they had this relationship. He was 16 years old, and Kevin Clash was 45. Now, even though the 16-year-old boy says the relationship was consensual, by law it cannot be because he's underage. He's under 17. Right? Now, he went to the PBS lawyers to tell them about this. And they did everything to shut him down. They wanted him to shut up. I don't know if a payoff was a part of this, but they wanted to keep him quiet. So then,
I would have taken the money and spread that news around like wildfire.
Well, then it gets worse. You see, now the 23-year-old has hired an attorney. And the attorney turns out to be one of the attorneys that represented one of the Sandusky boys.
Ooh. PBS.
Cough up the dough. That's all you can say. PBS. Cough up the dough. Cough it up, cough it up, cough it up.
I had to squat and cough, damn it. Now you got to cough up the dough.
Exactly. Give me everything.
Well, now hold on. Wait a minute. Now, this didn't happen on any of their sets or anything, did it? No?
No, they're not suggesting that.
But Tickle Me Elmo hasn't been around for much longer than 7 years.
That's right. He was the one who introduced the world to Elmo, and he was handling Elmo ever since. So if this happened 7 years ago, Elmo's not 7 years old, folks. Elmo's been around a lot longer than that.
Since 81.
There you go.
He's how old?
Wait a minute. Elmo, he's been around since 81?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm almost
certain.
Wow. 81 or 83, I'm almost certain.
So here's the thing. So PBS has affirmed that the emails, there were some email exchanges between Clash and the boy. And so that's why they told him to take him a leave of absence. So now they're scrambling. This is going to affect them seriously. This is going to affect them, whether they like it or not, because Kevin Clash is the lead puppeteer for Sesame Street. He is in charge there. So he is a bigwig.
How many more kids are going to follow suit?
Well, remember, the BBC is now dealing with the scandal right now that's rocking that entire organization. Now, BBC is the English version of PBS.
I love BBC.
So far, like, three executives have had to step down because it turns out one of the children's shows, a host, has now, it's been revealed that he may have sexually molested some hundreds of boys. And hold on, let me get Mike in here, because we're going to bring in Poverty Supreme, because he's overseas. Poverty Supreme is over
in the UK right now.
Yeah, he's over
and
in the UK.
And he's very audible, too. But listen, before we bring Mike in, Elmo first appeared in Sesame Street in print in 81 and 85 on TV.
Okay, so he's been on television since 1985, and Kevin Clash has been the primary puppeteer for Elmo. It's his character, his voice.
No. Hold on.
Oh, is he just the recent one?
Okay, wait a minute. Wow.
Throw shit straight.
Well, let's talk about it. While you're doing that, Mike, do you know the name of the host of that show on the BBC?
Elmo never touched that young boy. Elmo not do that. Elmo innocent, BBC. Elmo set up.
That's actually pretty good, Elmo.
Bastard. Yeah, that's a pretty damn good one. But listen, I stand corrected. Elmo's been around since 1972.
No.
Yeah. As a baby monster.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In the early 70s, he was portrayed by Carol Spiney.
Man,
from 81 to 84,
he was
Brian
a baby
Mule.
Monster.
And from 84 to 85 by Richard Hunt. Clash has had him from 85 to present.
Wait, Clash had him from which?
85 to present.
Clash has had him since 85 till present?
Yes.
Wow. What'd
and
you say, Mike?
Really, Elmo was kind of a low-level character till Clash took him over. And Clash
right.
made him big. Clash right. was basically Jim. He was Jim Henson's protege, basically.
Wow. Now, the big thing about it is that Clash and Elmo, in and of itself, Elmo is the top moneymaker at Sesame Place or Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, he's the money. But here's the thing, if Pee Wee Herman lost his gig and had his name dragged through the mud for jerking off in a porno theater, then this guy, who is the voice of Children's Television Workshop, should be done. I mean, there's no coming back from this.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Mike, because I watched the local news report here in D.C., and they talked to all of the people in the Baltimore area because, you know, he's a Baltimore native. So they talked to people just, you know, a state over in Baltimore and asked them, hey, you know, what do you think about this? You know, not one person said, I don't believe it. Nobody believed it. And it's astonishing to me.
Well, he does have kind of a Tyler Perry vibe going on.
Elmo, he's black. Black people in Baltimore are not going to think that some black
people. These were white people.
Oh, well.
These were white people.
They didn't want to appear racist. They believe.
Okay, now, in which state did this take place, though?
No, they're not suggesting where it took place. They believe it may have happened in Baltimore, in his hometown. Because if it was in New York, I mean, I'm pretty sure all hell would have broken loose. Let's bring in Poverty Supreme out in the UK. Hello there. Tip Chitio.
That's very funny, my brother.
Welcome back.
Yeah, what's up, my dog?
So, listen, who's the guy at the BBC that's creating all the ruckus over there? How many kids did they say he molested?
Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
That
so it's like
with girls.
Let me tell
they were
you
talking about like having he was setting up girls with other entertainers.
Let me explain Jimmy Savile to you. Like, yeah, Jimmy Savile used to have a TV show that used to come on BBC One.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he would go around and make a day. You know, he would do good things for kids who are disabled or you know living in poverty. You know, or they might have been heroic children. And he would go over there and give them gifts and take them out. Or he would answer kids' dreams, you know.
Right. Like,
you see
like
what I'm trying to say?
We have here.
Yeah, kids would write, like, families would write a letter saying, oh, they ain't got enough money to, they would love for their child to go on a holiday to Disney World, for example.
Right.
and they've been so good this year. They helped this person. They've been so good. And he would go and surprise them and give them everything they wanted for the day. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
But he was like Father Claus.
Exactly. He was doing a Santa Claus,
right.
24 hours a day. And he had a TV show where he was displaying all of these good things. I don't know where he was getting the money to do these things, but I haven't really gone into him. The reason why I haven't really paid any mind is the simple fact that why did the women wait? So why did they wait until he was dead before they want to bring it up? It's like Sugar Ray Leonard in your country. He said that his coach, who's dead, right, used to stroke his willy.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard did come forward with that.
With what?
He said that his coach used to stroke him when he was young, when he was a kid.
Yeah, but and all the other boxers, they testified to it first, and he wanted to come up and say he would be the face of some pedophile thing, you know.
Some pedophile.
No, you're absolutely right. But the BBC's getting their asses kicked over that. It seems like three people have already resigned, right?
Well, let me tell you what it is. It's because Gary Glitter was involved in it. That's why that sealed the nail in the coffin.
Really?
Gary Glitter is pretty famed, like the world's most famous pedophile now, right? Now that Michael Jackson's dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because Gary Glitter, you know that they don't play his song at the stadiums anymore. Like, you can't play Gary Glitter's song at Foxborough anymore. They used to play that all the time. They don't even play that at theaters because he got caught with child pornography.
Not a theater.
I mean, they won't play it at the game because he got caught with child pornography on his computer. They don't use the song anymore.
He was in Vietnam, like, having child prostitutes or something.
Oh, I heard about that.
I mean, and they said that Gary Glitter was in it with him.
Really?
Yeah, they say that because Gary Glitter used to be on the show as well. I mean, me as a youngster, you know what? To tell you the funniest truth, when I was younger, I never really took notice of programs like, I didn't like kiddie programs when I was younger, especially Sesame Street. It's when I got older and I used to bunk school, I started to appreciate Sesame Street. When I was in high school, that's when I appreciated Sesame Street. I watched it more.
Is that when you started smoking weed?
Well, yeah. And I started bunking school. I started to appreciate Sesame Street.
Mike is just about a pot smoker anywhere. Mike, you completely sniffed him out that fast.
Any grown man that talks about watching Sesame Street or Teletubbies gets high.
Well, you're right. You're right. That's what I'm saying. It's only when I got older, I've never liked Teletubbies, but I started to appreciate Sesame Street. I don't know why, but it's like when I was younger, I didn't like Sesame Street. But when I started to hit high school, I had a quiet little, I liked Sesame Street, especially Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch?
Oscar the Grouch. Everybody loves Oscar the Grouch. For some odd reason, a curmudgeon, for some odd reason, when you're a teenager, he expresses exactly your own personal angst. How do you not like Oscar the Grouch? Everybody else is just too hunky-dory. Oscar the Grouch is the realest guy on Sesame Street.
And I like the Cookie Monster. It just made me want to eat cookies and milk.
Well,
it was
because you were high.
Cookie Monster is the
goat
dog. The
munchies.
Or maybe
and
not.
And the cow. The Dracula, the cow. I never used to like Elmo, though. I tell you that, I never liked Elmo. Because I didn't know whether it was a man or a woman. For some reason, it wasn't clear to me what this one was. And I never liked Bert and Ernie.
Poverty Supreme is definitely not an Elmo fan. Let's bring in Edward.
A fan of Elmo. I've never been a fan of Elmo. And Bert and Ernie. But do you remember watching Sesame Street, right? There was a cool song where there was this guy who was dressed like a carpenter, and he would just count. Do you remember that one? He would be in a cup, and he would just be counting.
He was dressed like a carpenter?
Yeah, like a carpenter, like that sort of clothing, like a DIY man. And you just count.
Yeah,
like overall,
like,
yeah. You remember?
Him. I think I do. Not for the life of me, I have no idea what his name is. It's not coming to me.
I don't think he had a name.
Maybe a hard hat and a pair of overalls.
Let's bring Edward in real quick. Edward, what's up?
Hey, I got a question to ask you guys. Do you think that if this information had come out maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, that it may have had any effect on the election? Since Romney was one of the people who said, you know, he was going to think about the funding that's going to, Sesame Street.
Definitely. And this was so classic. I was driving to work this morning, and Reese sent me the link. And all I could do, because of course I was in the car and I shouldn't have been reading anything, but I did. Also, all I could read was like the headline, and I was like, "What?" All I read was Elmo. Homosexual little boy, something, and I was like, oh shit. So I called him, put the phone on, and I was like, okay, tell me about the story. What is going on? All hell is breaking loose. Everybody in this fool's cabinet is quitting or getting caught and having to roll out. Sesame Street's falling apart. I mean, Elmo's a little boy. Damn, Kmart, tickle me Elmos for the last 10, 12 years more. They had that tickle me Elmo surprise, like there was going to be one tickle me Elmo that was going to have this great surprise.
I wonder
what that surprise
was. The surprise was, I'm gay.
Wow. Oh, isn't that tickle me Elmo extreme?
Extremely gay.
Well, but that's
and, you know, Big Bird had a lot of nerve because I don't know if they ever solved the case of who they found dead on his property up in Connecticut.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Who they find dead on whose property?
On Big Bird. On
Big Bird, the guy with behind Big Bird.
The guy in the Big Bird purse had somebody dead on his property?
Yeah, in Connecticut. This was about maybe 5-7 years ago.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Big Bird reminded me of a... When I look at it now, Big Bird was a paedophile and that Snuffleupagus.
He was a who?
Hey, you leave my Snuffleupagus alone.
Hey, Poverty.
Mm.
I got a question. Why didn't you like Bert and Ernie?
I didn't like the way they slept in the bed together.
You didn't like the way what?
They slept in the bed together.
Oh.
They had in the bed together.
Much later.
Oh, they
I thought they had separate beds.
No,
because they used to fight over the crumbs.
They didn't always have separate beds.
They used to fight over the cookie crumbs in the bed.
They didn't always...
But, If I was going to like one of them, I'd probably rather Ernie.
What?
He said if you like one of them, you'd probably like Ernie. Everybody liked Ernie better.
They were like the odd couple.
I always considered them like, yeah, exactly. Odd couple, maybe even Abbott and Costello. Anyway, we're going to go to the top of the hour. Much more needs to come. Poverty Supreme, stick around a little bit. We're going to go to the top of the hour. More news, more views. There's plenty of other stuff going on. The Philadelphia precincts. Did you hear what the election numbers were in Philadelphia?
Zero
for Mitt Romney. Some other stuff as well when we get back. Stick around.
They had 174% turnout, voter turnout in a city of Florida. 174%.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
How many of them were Mexican?
Speaking of which, I also like to discuss this whole thing about the Republican Party and them turning tails.
Or hold on, better yet than Mexicans, how many of them were deceased elderly.
Yeah, probably even more so. All right, all of that when we get back. Stick around, top of the hour coming up right now on Race on the Radio.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Race on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
You know the damage one ignorant Negro can do. We were in France in the First War. We'd won decorations. But the white boys had told all them French gals that we had tails. Then they found this ignorant colored soldier. Paid him to tie a tail to his ass and run around half naked making monkey sounds. They put him on a big round table in the Café Napoleon. Put a reed in his hand. Crown on his head. Blanket on his shoulders and made him eat bananas in front of all them Frenchies. Oh, the white boys danced that night. Passed out leaflets with that boy's picture on it. Called him Moonshine. King of the monkeys. And when we slit his throat, you know that fool asked us what he had done wrong.
Reese on the Radio, and we are back 1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, we've already, of course, discussed the Petraeus scandal, and you know what else could you possibly talk about here? You guys probably have heard about the new quote-unquote food stamp numbers that they waited until after the election to bring out. Now, we already knew that food stamps had went up to some 47 million people from 32, or I think it was like 32 or 35. I'm almost certain it's 35. 35 million before President Obama took office in 2008.
And now it's what?
47, but I hear now the new number is somewhere close to 50 million people. But then the story gets better. And this story makes me laugh more than anything. Because Ohio was literally the watermark of this election. If Mitt Romney did not win Ohio during the election, as you all know, when Ohio was called, the election was called somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. I think it was roughly at about 11:20. A new report comes out today that all of those in Ohio are in for a reckoning because the Obama administration is now saying that they are going to reduce the amount of money that welfare recipients receive in Ohio.
Whoa, wait, I'm sorry. Come again?
It has been reported now, not even a week after the election, that Ohio is now going to reduce the rolls, or at least how much money that people will get in Ohio in food stamps, by some $550 million. So here's the Obama administration that pretty much used food stamps to get their vote, and now the administration or the Department of Agriculture is now saying we're actually going to cut your check. They're saying some families could see a reduction of at least $50 in their food stamps, EBT, I guess, is what they're going to receive, some $50. But they're saying that the money is going to add up to some $550 million, and that's now going to be, you know, that's going to take effect by January.
All I got to say is, so long, guys. Suck on these Chinese nuts.
Anyway.
You've been had, fuckers.
Oh, come on now. You don't have to do that.
Jeez. You know what, my brothers? I've got a question for you guys.
Sure.
I want to ask you, because I had a show the other day on the weekend, my first show, and I was going in about Obama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And surely, didn't Obama do anything you could say that was good? Because, I mean, one lady phoned my station. She said that Obama helped women go back to school.
Wait, and sure you weren't talking to a friend of mine? Everybody says that Obama helped
everybody
somebody.
Does say that. Everybody I've talked to as well. Oh, well, a girl at work the other day. I was able to go back to school and get my master's degree
because of Obama.
And I'm looking at her. I'm standing here looking at her like, okay, and you're doing with that master's degree what? Because, I'm sorry, I don't even have a bachelor's degree. And, you know, I'm working here. Why are you working in a retail place with a master's degree?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that...
So whether you think that he helped you go back to school or not, why don't you have a job in the field that you've gotten an education in?
Yeah, I think that to me is the sort of the argument here is like, sure, great, he helped you go back to school to get an education, but if there's no job in your career, I mean, the stats here in the United States are...
And he didn't really help them. He just allowed them to borrow more money.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, because it's 8-9% unemployment in your country, right?
Well, yeah, right now we're actually sitting under 8%. That's probably going to go up. It's at 7.9 right now. It's probably going to go up. Our real unemployment rate
has gone up because the day that Obama was... the evening they called the election... Boeing let go 1,000 people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, the numbers got to go up.
There was a hotel in Vegas that let go of 22 people. There's companies everywhere letting people go. A company shut down for a day of mourning. I mean, we're losing money in the economy every single day in every facet. The workforce, you lose money in the workforce. People aren't working. They don't have disposable money. They're not buying anything that the merchants are selling. The merchants aren't selling. They're not buying from suppliers. I mean, everything, it's like a domino effect. The shit is going to hit the fan. And it's already started. Hell, Petraeus had an affair, had to step down.
Yeah,
Elmo's a homo.
Yeah,
not only a homo, but a homo pedophile.
Yeah, all hell is breaking loose. But then again, as reports have already said, that, you know, second term.
That's a legend.
Yeah.
Well, you know
what?
Second
terms are always bad luck terms. It doesn't matter who it is you are. Clinton had the Lewinsky scandal. Reagan had Iran-Contra. You know, George W. Bush had Katrina. You know, there's always something.
It's true, you know, my brother, because it's like Tony Blair in this country. In the last term, he had to resign and give it up to Gordon Brown. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people disrespect Gordon Brown. I'm not saying that he's a good man. I never vote because nothing don't change the situation, you know, for black people. You know, as far as I'm concerned. So he ain't doing nothing for me. And again, I can't be bothered to sit down and read the policies. If I'm going to vote, I'm going to read all the policies. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And I can't be bothered with all that. So I'd rather stay out of it because a lot of black people...
But you know what, Poverty Supreme? That's a part of the problem, though. I respect you. I respect your opinion and the way that you look at things. But... that's part of the problem. Even the people that are voting are not reading the policies. So you, as not having time to bother to read the policies, though, so then therefore you forego your vote because you don't feel like you, you know, even probably have the right to vote since you're not following the policies. But there's so many people out there that do take the time to read the policies, that do take the time to get involved, and still are somehow brainwashed and duped into voting for the wrong thing.
Yeah, if you're...
Mary, can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Edward.
Even the legislators aren't reading the policies. Take a Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi, remember?
Yeah. We have to pass the bill before we find out what's in it.
You know what, Reese? I had one show of yours maybe a few minutes last week sometime. It must have been JC. And he said that people should have to do some sort of a test. He said that we don't know what we're doing. We're not intelligent enough, you know. If you're a certain level of intelligent, you shouldn't be, you know, it's like a kid voting. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I mean, all disrespect to black folk, to our people, right? But at the end of the day, I know that I firmly believe worldwide, when black people vote, right, 90% of them, yeah, just follow the old part, the same old routine that their parents used to vote. You know?
This is true. This is why I wanted to ask you this, Poverty. Excuse me. What, because I'm listening to your accent, and what is the section of England that you live in?
I live in Catford.
Say again? You live in Camden?
I live in Catford. Catford.
Oh, in Catford. Okay, Catford.
Yeah.
Is that a large African-American community?
Yeah, well, yes. And before that,
they wouldn't be African-American if they're in England, Reese.
No, you know what I mean.
Thank you. Yeah, I know what you mean. But what I was saying...
I'm just screwing around with
that. No, but you make... That makes so much sense.
Well,
I'm so used to saying that.
Poverty, how do here in this country, I'm sorry if this sounds really ignorant, but I'm curious. How do black people
identify
themselves in England? Are you like
black?
A black English, an English black? Are you, I mean, do you all label each other like that in England?
Well, I feel, right, why, you know, some, I spoke on, there was a racist radio station the other day. And this white racist guy, and he's called No White Girl, the show. And I phoned in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, what is your agenda? What is your problem? You know? And, you know, he said, oh, well, I mean, all right. He asked me a question that, do I class myself as British in England? Well, I said, under equal opportunities, and even by the police, you know, handbooks, like when they show you stop and search, they said the police withhold the right to know your origin. When you go and you go for a job, it says equal opportunities. I don't understand this equal opportunity, because before you didn't have to tell them what race you was. You would just go for the interview. But now you have to put down whether you're a black Caribbean, black other. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Black Bangladesh. You know, they want to know your origin, black United States. So we have to tell them, you know, everything will say Afro-Caribbean English. You see what I'm trying to say?
Oh, okay. So you've got to break down every part of your origin.
So they have to know. Even white folk out here, naturally, and even other foreigners, they say to me when I was younger, they said to me, oh, where are you from? I said, I was born in England. I was from England, innit? I'm from London. They say, no, what is it? Where was you? Where are you from? I said, I'm from Britain. They say, where are you from? No, where are you from? I said, oh, my family are from Jamaica. My grandparents, my mother and father were born in England as well. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Right. So, in essence, even if you're black and you're born in England, they still want to know where your heritage lies, because if you are in England, you generally, they believe you can't possibly be from here. If you have dark skin, you're from some other land and you've eventually migrated here.
Exactly. They want to know everything. So how is that in your country? Well, I mean, I don't think they could do that in your country.
Well, no, they can't. They can't.
You just took it away from me. You took it away
sorry,
from me.
Sorry.
In America, you know, it's just niggas and spicks over here.
No, seriously, though, on a serious note, they do ask you those questions, but you can choose whether you want to answer them or not. It is on most applications,
yeah,
most forms, most anything nowadays,
but
even on advertisements, for Christ's sake. But they do that. I think they use that information, or they say they're going to use that information for statistics.
Well, they are, for statistical reasons. The reason why they do it here in this country, and most people use this, I guess, in like employment companies, they use this as sort of like a rationale for certain perks within, as far as government subsidies go. You know, if you're a major organization and you say that you have a quote-unquote minority workforce of 20% or 30%, there are things in
there
our local government, tax breaks, that you can get and incentives within the government that you can then use to help out your company. And large corporations, places that I know personally, like Hertz Rent-A-Car, the BP oil company, they do that here. And that's, you know, that's British Petroleum, but they do that here in this country based upon how many minorities, how many foreigners they
are. How many women.
How many women. All of those things can be used.
How many women are in certain positions.
Exactly.
How many minorities are in certain positions.
Yeah.
How many, you know.
So in this country, it's literally, it's done for financial gain.
Okay. What, the same thing over here? Because yesterday, when I was researching for my show, I was looking up the census, like, of the ethnic numbers of percentages of, like, who's black, who's Indian, who's white, you know. And basically, I found a site where I could pay to find people. Like, £3 something. And I could find 10 people. I just put their name in the search and I could find them, anyone in Britain that I want to find. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Okay, there's a website like that here. I think it's called Intellius, where
okay.
If there's someone you trying to find out their last location, you pay like $12 to $15 here in the U.S. And you pay that money and you can find out their address.
There's a free one here as well. It's not totally free. But it gives you enough information to find a person without paying. So I guess you can't say it's free. It's called Spokeo. SPOKEO.com.
Okay. Again, how
can
do
I
you
ask
find...
you, are you looking for someone?
No, I wasn't. No, I stumbled on it when I was looking
for
people. I stumbled on it because I wanted to look for the census for 2012, but I could only go back as far, the only records I could find of the minority groups that has actually been released, right, was 2001. That's the only one that I can find that's actually been released. I couldn't find nothing later than that.
If you really...
You know what I'm trying to say? Huh?
Poverty Supreme, let me tell you something that you could do, because this book is published in your country, and I got a hand on it back in 2009. Okay, you need to find this book because I know it's in your country. Because when I got it and I found it, somebody had given it to me by accident. I think they found it in a basement somewhere. I had it in 2009. It's called Schott's Almanac. Okay, if you like looking at research, it's called Schott's Almanac, S-C-H-O-T-T-S, or apostrophe S, Schott's Almanac.
Okay.
You can probably find it online, but you need to find the one from 2009. You have to find it, okay?
Okay.
The statistics.
Statistics. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
It has statistics, census, information, all of that stuff. Let me put it to you this way. There is a statistic in that almanac that's like real obscure stuff. One of the statistics I found in there, and this is an English published book. It has some American stuff in it, but a lot of stuff is based on the UK. One of the statistics that they did based on this almanac, they had surveyed this large group of people, asking them this one question about business. And the question broke down blacks, Hispanics, and whites. And you remember I told this story. And the question was how much blacks trusted Hispanics, how much blacks trusted whites.
In a business.
But there were three different statistics. They were asking three different questions about how they trust them. Now, blacks did not trust Latinos at a high level. Latinos or Hispanics did not trust blacks at a high level. Neither one, blacks or Hispanics, trust whites at a high level, except when it came to business. Blacks did not trust Latinos when it came to business. Latinos did not trust blacks when it came to business, but they all trust whites overwhelmingly. In fact, 2 to 3 times more than they trusted them with everything else. They didn't trust the white man to have a beer with, but they trusted him to go into business with. You have to get this book for that one statistic. I thought it was the most fascinating book I've ever had, and I know it comes from. I tried to find it again. I had the 2010 version, It wasn't even as good as the 2009. The 2009 was by far one of the best books I read that year.
Fair enough. I mean, I could kind of even feel that, in a sense. You know, when it comes down to business, boy, you can't really... But, you know, again, it's just honesty. You know, we're not really honest with each other. You know, we'll spend the money and think that we can get it back, or, you know, I've done things with, you know, black folk out here, you know, and, you know, I realise that I can't really do business with them, or if I'm trying to push myself forward, you know, they just, when I'm dealing with white folk, my line of work is boxing, right? And like, when I'm dealing with black folk, it's like I'm just training all the time. And I'm sparring, but I'm not getting no fights now. When I'm dealing with white guys now, they get me fights as much as I want. You know, I mean, I'm in it to fight, innit? I'm not, you know, I'm in it to fight. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no. You
that's
said
how
you're
I make
boxer?
My money.
You're a boxer? You're a boxer,
yeah.
Probably, straight?
Yeah.
What kind of boxing? Traditional boxing, or you do that mixed martial arts stuff?
No, welterweight, Mayweather's weight category.
Ah, welterweight.
Yeah.
Ah,
well, there's the most money in that.
Yeah. There's some good money there. So you had any matches or what? What are you like trying to go pro?
Yeah, well, I'm looking to go next year, as a matter of fact. But I'm a bit old, you know. But I used to do kickboxing, basically. But you know, enough for you know. But I've been doing my amateur. For the last couple of years, I've been doing amateur. You see what I'm saying?
I'm not hearing the word you're saying. MMA or?
Just, for the last couple of years, I've been doing amateur. I've been fighting amateur and underground.
Amateur.
But if the two
amateur and fighting underground. What are you talking about underground? We're doing like steel cage matches under like a basement, like Fight Club.
Unlicensed, where there's not really a proper medical doctor, and I'm getting paid. Amateur, you don't get paid. Amateur found out.
You're doing Fight Club.
It's not.
That's
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we call him like.
My brother-in-law used to fight welterweight.
Yeah.
So, but you're wearing.
He was the WBA, IBF, and WBC champion.
But
what's his name then, brother?
Marlon Starling.
Marlon Starling. But it must have been a while back, because I've never heard of that fight.
Oh, yeah, this is a while back. This is back in the 80s.
Okay, Marlon.
Remember that poverty? What are you, 28?
I'm 30.
He's 30.
Ah, together. I knew I could round
but
it out.
Let me tell you, with me with the boxing, yeah, it doesn't really
matter. Yeah, he beat Floyd Mayweather Sr. Yeah, that's the truth.
With me in the box, I just want to. I need to make quick money because I want to invest my money. I want to build a few businesses. Yeah. When you fight at a professional level, you could get, you know, I could get make at least, you know, for one fight, the minimum I'm gonna make is £1,000. So for me, and I know fighters who are journeymen, and they've got big houses, and you know, they've had like 400 fights. The fights don't go past four rounds, but they always get in there. But, you know, I know wealthy jobbers, basically. You know, I'm not in it to be a jobber. But if worse comes to worse, I don't really give a shit if that's the case, because I'm looking to invest my money properly. You see what I'm trying to say?
So you don't mind being a jobber?
Well, no, I don't want to be a jobber. I'm trying to win all the time.
Well, okay.
So my aim's to win all the time, but I'm saying I'm going to keep on until I reach... You know, I want to retire by 40. That is my aim, to retire by the age of 40.
Hey,
know,
man, if what's his name? What the heck is Hopkins' first name?
Who?
Why am I forgetting Hopkins' first name?
Bernard.
Bernard, right. And Bernard,
yeah.
What did he fight clearly until he was 44, right?
Yeah,
no,
he's been
he
boxing since like...
Inspiration. He actually gave me my inspiration because...
Did he?
Yeah, because, you know, my friend, I got another friend who's a boxer, and I used to do kickboxing. And he used to always say that, you know, you got a, you know, I've got a big punch, you know. When I used to do kickboxing, but what happened is I twisted my knee came out of its socket. Because I used to do a lot of kickboxing before, but I twisted my knee out, my knee popped out. and pop back in. And it's like, for 2 years, I was too scared to play football, a sport that I like, soccer. And, you know, I was just scared to do overexert my knee. But then, you know, it healed. I felt like it's healed now anyway. But I didn't feel like it. It always just felt subtle. And it's like I just felt, you know, I didn't want to do anything because I was too scared to do any sort of physical activities after that. I was scared to run. I was scared to do everything because of the knee. I was scared because that feeling, yeah, I felt like, but it popped back in quickly. And the coach in the gym, he never said nothing. He said, oh, it'll be all right. And then the next day, it swelled up really big. And I had to be on crutches. And I was getting rehab on the knee and stuff like that. And I was just so scared, yeah, because, you know, I never actually broke it. But I felt, you know, the bone out of place. Do you know what I mean? And it was just, I felt like, you know, it was going to break because I was doing a kick. And the knee just popped out. And it was just scary, you know what I mean? It's like if you break your leg, you're going to be tentative, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
I've never broken anything, man. That's the reason why I don't overexert myself. I just watch you knuckleheads do it. I'm sorry.
Let me correct myself. And let me correct myself. He's not my brother-in-law by marriage, but he's my sister's baby father.
Oh, yeah, of course, JC.
Same deal.
Break when we come back. News and poverty. When we come back, will you tell us when your show is on so we can check it out?
Definitely.
All right. So stick around. We'll be right back. Free Sunday Radio right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I like it like that with just the drums, you know what I'm saying? Don't even need no loop or nothing, then you can just bring it back around like,
Yeah, like, come on, yeah.
I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, let me spread up a little bit.
Yeah. One time,
FP.
For the lane to open up so I can move where I wanted to. Make way, coming through. Too hard to hit the brakes, so please don't hesitate. Move, damn it, either left, right, duck or levitate. Stick a swim, something's gotta give. What's it gonna take? Cause where I'm at, I can't stay here. Nah, too many late bills, too many close calls. They got me asking why I even try to do this for. But then I see it in your faces when I'm out on tour. Trust the fan, man, showing all the love and support. That means somebody on the mic, let it tell it like it is, was, and will be. Even if it kills me. Something that'll still be cool when it's no longer hot. Picked up here after it's dropped. For those that love hip hop, for quite simply can't take it no more. We wanna hear the whole truth on the flow. So let's go, y'all. What y'all want y'all with that dope shit? Yeah.
That hardcore kick, I'm in the dope shit.
Yeah.
That's just a weak summer can't cope with.
Yeah.
That's just your favorite rapper wanna go for.
Yeah. I got it harder than I come harder.
Yeah.
It gets realer than I go realer.
Yeah.
I come harder than I come harder.
Yeah.
It's gonna kill you if it don't hit ya.
Grown man theme music, full head of steam music. Use it, don't abuse it, kerosene, gasoline. Use it, fueling your check through the everyday struggles. For the modern day hustle like folks to juggle. Two or three jobs with two or three mouths to feed. Two or three years left before you get your degree. If you a free black man without crack rocks and a wicked jump shot, many more ways to lean. With your background music for your mind, whether or not you're adding to the crime rate. Something rhyme to keep your mind and your spine straight. Just like the bitch and every day is a blind day. This is a break from the hootin' and tootin' it. Drug and gun shootin' it. Flippin' and snortin' it. Image distortin' this rap. I'm just here to be kickin' and recordin' it. Shortin' that flow for your head. Hold it, go. What y'all want, y'all want that dope shit?
Yeah.
That hardcore kick them in the dope shit.
Yeah.
That's just a weak stomach can't cope with.
Yeah.
That's just your favorite rapper wanna go through.
I'm going harder than I come harder.
You want
it gets tap ahead and all. Rosewood, I'm a star. Project a campus star. Man, Skippy, I'm a god. Metal brought you a lot. Buy a lot of front bar. Run and get your bomb squad for your head. Cause we gonna challenge everything they tell you. When they saying you a rebel, or you go and step the head, you tell them. Not a destination. Unless you wanna test my theory, don't test my patience. I'ma make my heaven on earth for what it's worth. One time, just to get your ass what it deserves. For my family, friends, fan, folks. All black, black, all head, shoulders, knees, and toes. One question and they go. What y'all want that dope shit? Damn. That hardcore, think I'm in the dope shit. Damn. That shit the weak, I'm a kid, go quick. Damn. That shit your favorite rapper, wanna go get. I come harder than I come harder. Come on. It gets realer than a gold realer. Yeah. I come harder than I come harder. It's gonna kill you if you don't hear ya.
Restart the radio, and we're back 31 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. My producer is still caught in this conversation with, of course. Anyway, I wanted to play this audio because I know everyone's still talking about Hurricane Sandy. And the people in Staten Island, I feel for you guys, you know. Staten Island's a whole lot different from New York. You know, I could give two damns about New York City.
F you.
But Staten Island, they've never ever done anything bad to me. In fact, I love my time in Staten Island when I was in a group home out in Tottenville.
Oh, Lord.
What? I was in a group
memory.
Home.
Memory.
Yeah, okay, all right. So don't butcher it. Thanks, honey. anyway, point being, everyone is now talking about
global warming again because of all of the global warming. The global warming.
And NBC, that piece of garbage frickin' outpost, they call the news. They did a report today talking about global warming today. I want you to hear their report. And then I want you to hear from a guy by the name of Joe Bastardi. Joe Bastardi, who works for a company called Weatherbell. He is a meteorologist, and he has studied storms. He's a meteor-frickinologist, okay? In a debate with a woman who's supposed to be a climate change expert. When you hear this, first I'm going to play the NBC audio for you first. Here's NBC talking about Hurricane Sandy and talking about how pretty much it must be climate change. And only one little bit of opposition from a guy who kind of says, yeah, climate change is real, but you can't really say that Sandy is climate change. He doesn't dispel it, but he agrees with it.
This weekend, the West went from summer to winter overnight.
And that's winter.
It's
insta-winter.
Today, the Northeast basks in spring-like temperatures, still recovering from Superstorm Sandy and the nor'easter that covered her debris in a record snowfall.
This is something we've never seen before, any of the meteorologists here for that matter, and it's something very, very unusual.
You'll get no argument from the people who have to deal with it.
I said I'm waiting for the locusts and pestilence next.
This year alone, the nation's endured a withering drought, the largest wildfires in history, and the warmest month on record. In 2011, there were 14 extreme weather events, each doing more than $1 billion in damage. Now some politicians are connecting the dots, blaming the gases that come from burning coal, oil, and gas for changing the climate.
Climate change, extreme weather, call it what you will, it is undeniable.
But when it comes to one specific event like Sandy, most scientists are more cautious.
We know that global warming shifts the odds of certain extreme events, so we can't say that Sandy was definitely caused by global warming, but we can say it shifted the odds in its favor.
What they are certain about is that sea levels are rising about a foot here in the New York area since 1900, making Sandy's storm surge that much more destructive, forever altering.
I want you to hear that part again. Very important.
What they are certain uncertain about is that sea levels are rising about a foot here in the New York area since 1900, making Sandy's storm surge that much more destructive, forever altering the coastline.
It's not a question of if the sea level will rise, it's a question of how much. And what that depends on is how warm the climate gets and how quickly the ice in Greenland and Antarctica breaks off and falls into the sea.
Extreme weather with extreme price tags becoming more commonplace. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Now, Ann Thompson is the environmental correspondent for NBC News. Okay? She's the environmental correspondent. Doesn't mean that she knows bupkis about environment. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that she's got connections to everyone who agrees with her. Now, this is an argument that was on the O'Reilly Factor. This was with Joe Bastardi, the aforementioned, and this woman, I don't know her name. O'Reilly doesn't pronounce it very well, but she's supposed to be a scientist. He'll give her name in the interview. She's supposed to be a climate change specialist. She knows it. Now, at 1:23 on this audio, listen to what she says. I'm going to stop it and play it. She gives four things that show that climate change is happening. Listen for it. Joe Bastardi talks first. Then she rebuts. But listen to the four things she says prove that climate change is happening.
Joining us from Washington, Dr. Brenda Eckwurzel, a climate scientist from the Union of Concerned Scientists, and from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Joe Bastardi, meteorologist at Weather Bell Analytics. All right, Joe, I'll begin with you because I know you don't believe in the global warming deal. However, the storms are very, very fierce, and you say?
That's stunningly ignorant or stunningly deceptive, what Al Gore said. In the 1950s, from 1954 to 1960s, 10 major hurricanes ran the eastern seaboard, 6 hit the Carolinas northward in 2 years in 54-55, including Connie and Diane, which caused unbelievable flooding in 1955.
Just may want to make sure, in case he's talking too fast. Just listen to him again.
That's stunningly ignorant or stunningly deceptive, what Al Gore said. In the 1950s, from 1954 to 1960s, 10 major hurricanes ran the eastern seaboard, 6 hit the Carolinas northward in 2 years in 54-55, including Connie and Diane, which caused unbelievable flooding in 1955. Hurricane Carol, 1954, 15 feet of water up Narragansett Bay. The 1938 hurricane, which had 186 mile an hour wind.
1938, Narragansett. That's up north. Okay, New England.
Which had 186 mile an hour wind gust at Blue Hill, Massachusetts.
186 miles per hour. 186.
Which had 186 mile an hour wind gust at Blue Hill, Massachusetts, blew down 2 billion trees, caused a 50-foot surge of water across Long Island. If that storm had been 60 miles further west with the landfall at the Battery, there would have been 20 feet of water into New York City. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and ever since he shot his mouth off about Katrina, we've seen total global tropical activity go to record low levels. Just because something happens in your backyard 2 years in a row, it has nothing to do with the total picture.
All right, Doctor, you say?
Get ready. It gets really funny.
First, let's look at what scientists who study this are saying. Four things.
Here she goes. Four things.
Four things. We have sea level rise caused by climate change that is making storm surges worse. We also have more severe rains and coastal flooding. And three, we have the situation where sea level rise is happening and it's increasing the storm surge. We have warmer ocean waters powering more powerful hurricanes. And four, when it comes to the frequency of hurricanes, scientists still have a lot of questions.
She made no sense.
Somebody
she said number one and number three were the same. So she really only had three.
She claims
that she cited.
And
she's saying that sea level is rising.
But
the sea level has only risen 1 foot.
1 foot.
1 foot. The sea level, okay? Manhattan is surrounded by water.
1 foot.
since 1900.
1 foot.
1,012 years later, we've gained 1 foot of water.
No, 1900. That's 100.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying 1,000.
1 foot.
112 years earlier.
But listen to her four again. I want you to hear it again.
No, I heard it.
Four things. We have sea level rise caused by climate change that is making storm surges worse.
No proof of it.
Sea level rise caused by climate change.
All right, okay. She continues.
We also have more severe rains and coastal flooding. And three.
But she said more severe rain and coastal flooding. He just gave you like 10 different examples that happened way before. In the 30s, the 50s, all of it.
And if I recollect correctly, you know, last summer, the summer before, there's not any summer that goes by when we haven't had. She's talking about all these rains. What about these record droughts?
Hold on. Remember, in the 50s, the population was under 200 million. They're claiming that in the 70s, when the population grew with the baby boom, that man-made, that's what climate change is, it's man-made fossil fuels. When the population grew, that's when, quote-unquote, the weather got worse. But here's Joe Bastardi telling you right off the bat. That's not true. We had worse coastal flooding in the 50s and in 1938, 186 mile-per-hour winds. Okay? We've never seen anything like that.
Never
seen anything like that.
And it dumped, what did he say, 60-foot waves or 60 feet of water onto Long Island Shore.
And tore down 2 million trees.
Yeah.
We have the situation where sea level rise is happening, and it's increasing the storm surge. We have warmer ocean waters powering more powerful hurricanes. And four, when it comes to the frequency of hurricanes,
I want you to hear that one more time. And four, this is a point.
Yeah, the
point
frequency
four.
Of hurricanes.
No, listen to point four. Sorry, I did that wrong. I had to do this. This is four.
Have a lot of. And four, when it comes to the frequency of hurricanes, scientists still have a lot of questions.
So when it comes to climate change, people have a lot of questions. That's a point? So because they have a lot of questions, then now is a point?
The bottom line is that off the shore of New York region, we have 8 to 10 inches higher water levels because of sea level rise, and that could mean a big difference as these shoreline defenses are trying to struggle and keep pace with a storm surge that's arriving from Sandy during a high tide of
a
full moon.
Could that, as Joe Bastardi believes, could that be cyclical, doctor, rather than a man-made, fossil fuels in the air situation? And I point to El Nino in the Pacific. You know, things happen. Could it be just nature?
Absolutely. Natural factors are a major, major driver. But to ignore the factors of climate change, we do that at our peril. Essentially, coastal residents in Florida, they get this. People in New York City, they are studying this. They have climate change action plans. And really, we need our planners to be first responders to climate change, because if we do not protect our coastal citizens and we ignore climate change, that means we may have insufficient coastal adaptation strategies.
Okay.
And when I see a storm coming, it makes me scared.
That sounds pretty reasonable, that no matter whether it's man-made or cyclical, as you say, just part of the natural cycle of the Earth, that you now have to have a defense system that's different because people living in the coastal regions, and as I do, are at a higher risk. You say?
Pay very close attention to Joe Bastardi kick her ass. Badly.
I've been saying for years that we were returning to the cycle of the 1950s, that the Pacific, which, by the way, is at record-breaking cold levels. How about them apples? The Pacific is cooling. The Atlantic is warming. The Atlantic warm cycle lasts another 10 to 15 years. What aggravates me about these people is Dr. Bill Gray at Colorado State made this prediction in the late 70s that we were going into this very cycle. People laughed at him. Here it comes. The Atlantic's warm. The Pacific's cold. The action shifts to the east coast of the United States like it did in the 1950s for 10 to 15 years, and then we cool the Atlantic and we go back the other way. We're throwing billions and billions of dollars away when people are starving in the streets of this country. We're trying to fight a ghost that's not there, and yet we look at people and our economy's in the tank because of all this. And yeah, it's aggravating.
aggravating to me because there's no need for it. I have to compliment you both very clearly.
So here it is, Joe Bastardi, who pretty much just said back in the 1950s, the deal is that the coastal shift. Pacific gets warm, Atlantic gets cold, causes the surge. It happened in the 50s, it's happening again. It happens for 10 or 15 years in the 50s, and then it shifts again after a long period of time. And he's saying that once that doctor said it back in the 50s,
well,
they laughed at him.
All that starts to happen again on the West Coast.
Right, and it happened. It happened, they laughed at him, and it happened. And he's pretty much said, I'm sick and tired of these frickin' whack jobs costing us billions of dollars to follow a ghost that isn't there. Now, I know what they teach you out in England there, Poverty Supreme. You can't tell me different. They make you guys in school believe in global warming. You can't tell me any different.
Well, yeah.
If you don't believe in global warming in England, something's wrong with you.
I was going to debate it, yeah, but then I said, yeah. They killed me with that when I was very young. Very much so, you know, they tried to get the kids into, you know, preserving the earth and all this and that, you know. I mean, what do you think about global warming?
I think
I think it's
a complete joke. I've seen the way they've manipulated our children, and I don't know if you have any kids or maybe you have some nieces or nephews, but I would always say to you, ask them this. It's a real great experiment to do, and I'm almost certain, Edward, you've seen this, and I've talked about this before. Ask a young kid, maybe 10 years old, maybe in any kid in grade school, because high school they're a little more cynical. Ask a kid in grade school, and ask him when he sees a picture of a polar bear on a sheet of ice floating, what does that picture say to him? And they all say the same thing. The polar bears are dying, the ice caps are melting, and we need to do something about global warming. Every kid in grade school will tell you that.
Do you know who
from what I know, polar bears can swim though.
Do you know who really spun this out of control,
who's
this
that?
Whole global warming?
Who?
That show that comes on, you could be next, or this could happen to you next.
Oh, really?
And they get, oh, yeah, it's like on the Weather Channel, this could happen to you any minute. And they give all these extreme stories about how if New York City was hit with, like, a Category 4
hurricane. Yeah.
And, you know, Los Angeles was hit with a, you
earthquake
know,
or something?
8.2 earthquake, and they give you all these.
What, do we not remember the 7.9?
All right.
Yeah, they do it with very, very, very well done computer-aided, generated graphic disasters.
Yeah,
they make it look real.
Here's the thing.
This could happen to you.
This could happen to you?
Yeah.
This is the interesting part is that they do this to kids who are obviously very influential. Or very easily influenced. If you show a kid, and I did this when I talked to grown men, I asked them, when you think of global warming, tell me some of the images that you see. And guys always say, oh, we always see the polar ice caps. Like, we always see the ice melting or a big giant chunk of ice falling off.
And the polar bears on top.
And the polar bears
on the water.
These are grown men, 40s and 50 years old. So I said to them, I said, really? So when you see a polar bear on a sheet of ice, you think of global warming? He goes, yeah. It's like that's always the image that they show. So the first thing I asked him was, have you ever been to the Bronx Zoo? Have you ever been to the Central Park Zoo? And he's like, yeah, I've been there once. I said, do you ever go to the polar bear exhibit? And like, yeah, my kids love that. Well, when you see the polar bear swimming, I said, they always put them in a bunch of rocks or a big giant pool of water, right? They go, yeah. I said, do you ever wonder why? Well, polar bears like to swim. What the F do you think you're looking at with a polar bear in a sheet of ice? Polar bears, they swim 30 miles. And that is just an image. You see a polar bear, and they put this image and saying, see the polar bear in a sheet of ice? His home is floating
away.
Yeah. His home is floating away.
He's floating away from his cubs.
Yeah, completely missing the idea that you should be telling the child, by the way, the polar bear can swim back to his home, but he'd rather make a point to you about global warming.
I mean, it's evident that New York is gonna in another 100 years it's gonna probably not exist the way the water's going up though. I mean, they say that same thing about London as well.
They say that the same thing about what?
London.
Do they say that about London?
London, yes. The water's rising.
Well, New York may have a problem. New York may have a problem because most of the island of Manhattan is built on landfill.
You're right about that.
Yeah, a lot of it is built on landfill. And all this trash after a while dissipates, especially as being under that much weight of the city itself.
Right. But you know what? But see,
what is that?
Hey, Reese.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in real quick about this.
Yeah, please.
About this polar bear thing. Do you have any idea how far a polar bear can swim?
30 miles.
Said that.
No. You're they have been they've been recorded swimming up to 220 miles.
Stop lying.
I could believe that.
220 miles?
Yep, the Canadian Journal of Zoology tracked 52 polar bears off of Alaska with GPS collars. And they found 50 of them who swam an average of 96 miles, and one of them swam the longest, which is 220 miles.
Wait, you're talking about in one sitting?
They were 52 different. They tracked with GPS collars 52 different polar bears, and on average.
But you're saying like a polar bear jumping in the water. And actually distance
swimming.
Like maybe,
yeah.
He'd stop for a little while and maybe, you know, sort of like wade in the water for a little while, but he would just continue swimming.
Exactly. Long distance swimming. That's what they're categorizing it at.
Okay.
So from average,
so
what they said, the average of these swims range from anywhere from a day to 10 days, depending on, you know, which particular bear they were following.
Wow. See, I always knew that they could swim 30 miles in a sitting. You know, they can pretty much swim anywhere they want to.
Yeah, and when they stick them in the zoos, they usually paint the scenery around them white to give the appearance that it needs to be cold.
Right.
And that's
exactly.
Really not the case.
That picture I just gave you? Yeah, what was the link you gave me? Because I'm about to pop it up now.
That's a picture, if you look at the squiggly in the middle, that's the Connecticut River.
Oh, really?
And this was 1936. The hurricane of 36 that we had.
Oh, this was the 36. Was you sure this is 36 or 38?
No. This is March 12th, 1936.
My goodness.
Now, you know, you see the river in the middle. That's how wide the river is. Now, you know, one side is East Hartford. The other side is Hartford. Now, just north of those circles, just above those circles, about half of the pictures of this picture, that's where 1041 sat.
I was just about to ask you that. Because I'm looking at it, I'm going to the convention center is right off this river.
Exactly.
So that's Columbus Boulevard right there.
Right.
I'm looking at it right now. Holy smackaroni.
And they're worried about the little flood that we have now.
Yeah, that's just insanity.
So
insanity.
I just sent you the link to the article that has all the information about the polar bears and the swimming ranges.
Oh, I want to read that. I love polar bears. That's one of my favorite animals. Somebody has
is someone in a chair rocking back and forth?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's me.
Like an elephant in the back of the room. I know you've
got a universal circus going on over there.
Let me ask a question. Do you think people could eat penguins?
Sure, why not?
Not unless I'm starving.
Tastes like chicken.
It tastes like fries. If
I've never heard
it. Stuff, it's all blubber.
It would be all, a penguin would be all blubber.
Well, I know in Canada they eat seal. But that's not a bird either. It's got to taste like chicken. It's a bird.
I've never heard of it.
I don't know.
It's not a bird, dude.
I wouldn't feel right eating a penguin.
Penguins don't fly.
Yeah, it is, but it's a bird. It's a flightless bird. I mean, they eat puffins, too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I watched Andrew Zimmer eat puffins over the weekend.
I couldn't eat a seal. I couldn't eat a penguin. I couldn't eat a flamingo.
Ew, flamingos are nasty.
I couldn't eat. There are certain animals that don't look like they're edible. Like, I couldn't eat. Like, if somebody suggested to me, hey, you want a piece of lion? I would go, eh, not bad.
I mean, you could walk in Stop and Shop and buy ostrich.
Yeah, ostrich I'd eat.
Ew.
I would eat ostrich.
Ew.
That's an ugly-ass bird.
What about crocodile? Because you guys have got crocodiles, Elina in the south, that I know they eat crocodiles.
I love
crocodiles.
It.
That looks tasty.
I've eaten crocodile.
I love crocodile.
That looks tasty.
Yeah, crocodiles, that's all right. I've had bear. I've eaten bear. Bear's perfectly good food to eat. I've had tree rat.
Rat?
Tree rat. Well, it's in essence, it's a squirrel. Well, we call them tree rats.
Yeah. Well, I've tasted possum.
Ew.
I've tasted coon.
I've had possum.
Ew.
I love possum.
I can't even eat lamb.
I've eaten rattlesnake.
Oh, disgusting. And liver. And, oh.
I would not eat a polar bear, though.
What about jungle rats?
What, a jungle rat?
In Africa.
Oh,
a jungle rat? Pussy cat.
We got a couple in the hood out here.
Let me tell you something here. You see them when people laugh at the Chinese for all the shit that they eat, yeah? That food probably more healthy than the food that we got in Britain and America.
Crazy. Those Chinese people.
But the shit that they eat is not the shit they sell us, my man. Fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
That's that.
Yeah,
no,
you're right.
Hell,
Chinese people, whatever.
I've got my curry goat in their seasoning now.
Whatever it is that Chinese people are eating, they're not serving it to us because they live to be 100 and something. Everything they give us.
High cholesterol.
High
blood pressure. It's the medicine. Their medicine's natural path, isn't it? Like, they deal with the herbs and stuff like that.
Yeah, herbs, I love it.
Yeah, but they also eat dogs.
No, when they treat disease in China,
that's the key.
Okay. But you've got to understand, when China...
So does our president, JC.
Yeah.
No, what you've got to understand, yeah, is that Chinese medicine is different from Western medicine. Western medicine want to contain the disease. Chinese medicine tries to get rid of it for good.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Chinese don't want to keep the disease. They're just trying to eradicate it.
Yeah, we want to play with it, figure it out, and work with it.
No, we get rid of one and develop five others.
Yeah.
Your condition has the possibility to make you go blind.
Yeah, isn't that
you're killing yourself before, but you may not be able to see to wipe your own ass.
Hey, Bobbity Supreme, tell us about your show and when is it on?
It's called Carbon Radio, but you just type in my name, you'll get on. It's about the next show is going to be about blacks in Africa. Why do blacks want to go back to Africa? Now, my point is this, yeah, if we're going to explain the show, is that a lot of blacks want to go back to Africa, right? And a lot of it's Pan-African blacks, you know? And I feel like a lot of them, they're not talking about the struggle they're going to have to deal with when they go over there. You know what I mean? If you ain't you ain't going to want to live in a man's house when he can't get food.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. I get it.
When's
it air? We got 30 seconds. When does it air?
But it's going to air this Thursday.
This Thursday?
At what time?
Yeah, like today I had a show and it was, why do blacks complain to the police about the police?
Well, we'll look you up. Poverty Supreme, Ben. Thank you for joining us on the show, man. Come back anytime.
Blessed.
Man. We appreciate it.
Blessed, Mary and Reese and JC. Blessed.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, don't forget, I want to ask a quick question. Hey, how can you go back to somewhere you've never been?
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to use that common sense because, you know, like I said, the show today was about why do blacks complain about the police. I'm saying, why don't we police our own, you know, showing them the stats and the history. These police don't care about us, so we've got to police our own streets and stop being pussy. Either we give up the bad kids to the devil to kill them, or we give them an ass whipping. If we're too scared to do that, we can't have these people in the community. They're just bringing us down. So, yeah.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
We've got a twist for my show, you know.
We're going to check you out, man, and we'll let everybody else know when you can catch him, man. Thanks again, man. We'll see you guys tomorrow at the beginning of the week. Welcome to it. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you tomorrow, same bad time, same bad channel, right here on blogtalkradio.com.